Voice of Minnesota. It is FYI Politics with Brett Johnson. I have a special guest in studio with us today. Robert Pilot from Native Roots Radio just happened to be in the neighborhood, and I figured, well, you showed up about 1:55. I might as well make you stick around and talk a little politics with me today.
Wow. Well, thank you for having me on. I did that on purpose right around your show. I drove around the block a few times, just a perfect time.
Yeah, yeah.
But thanks for having me on. And I want to thank AM 950 for all the support they've given me, all the shows that we run here on AM 952, and all the work you do. We do Rock the Vote Native Style on 2 p.m. on Tuesdays. And that's really taken off, and we do Pilot's Progressive Party on Wednesdays, and then you run the symposium that we do live on Facebook Live via Zoom on Sundays at 6 p.m. So AM 950 is a big supporter of the Native community and the Progressive Native community, I should say, because we got a few outlands.
Yeah, so. I love Rock the Vote Native Style. You've had some great candidates on that show that hopefully we'll end up seeing at different levels of government, since we do need people with different perspectives, Native people and progressives in the legislature and in Congress. So, yeah, glad you've been highlighting them, since in often cases they're not exactly supported by the establishment of both parties, to say the least. And it's important to make sure we give them a voice to hopefully get them to those elected positions.
Exactly. I think one of the guests that we've had, and it was two, it was funny too, Matt McNeil had her on too last week, and that was Heather Keeler, who's running for District 4 up in Moorhead there, and that who won her primary by 67% of the vote. You know, we have these Native candidates that are stepping up, mostly women. We have Alan Roy up north too that's running for Senate, I believe, and we always talk about the small races too, and they're not small. None of them are small. The city councils, we got, you know, mayors of cities giving sending walls letters, please, you know, have line three happen, and that's not the way the people feel. So we got to get people in smaller offices, and they're not smaller.
Yeah. Just smaller in terms of stature, maybe, but they are extra important. I'm trying to think who you interview maybe a couple of weeks ago. They were running for, I think, city council in either Cloquet or Duluth, and they were talking
about Audrey
Thayer. Yeah, Audrey Thayer. And I think she was saying that, well, the community's, what, 20% Native, and there's no Native Americans that currently serve on the city council, which doesn't exactly make up who is even in the city in the first place. So it's
right.
Important to get someone like her on the city council.
And I think what we're finding, too, during COVID and during the murder of George Floyd and all these things that have happened that turned our world upside down, is that we're finding out that there's who's essential. We're also finding out that we have a voice and that we should be using it. And Gen Zers are mad. They're angry,
mm-hmm.
And I support that.
Yeah, well, they have a lot of reasons to rightfully be angry, both Gen Z and millennials. I can never really tell where the cutoff is on that thing. I've heard I'm either Gen X or I'm a millennial. I was born in 85, so I'm not sure which the one that qualifies as. So
yeah, I don't know. I just know I'm a boomer. And
I wasn't going to go there. You're technically a boomer. All right.
Right, and that the cutoff 64, and I know I have students that are pretty sharp that would respond to me like, okay, boomer.
Oh, have you been okay, boomer before at school?
I laugh, though, because it's like right on. Because they're engaged, and it's funny, a political with politics and things like that. We need to really get the young people engaged, everyone that's turning 18. One thing, there's so much misinformation, Brett. There's just mm-hmm. so much misinformation. I mean, I hear things come at me that normally I'm a pretty chill dude, but when I hear them come back at me, I know they're, and I'm not trying to be funny, but they're Russian bots. They're
oh, no
the
doubt.
Language. They're the language that, you know. I even heard a good one that with this Epstein thing that Obama was involved. I'm going, Obama? I've never heard that, but that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
That's out there. you know, that he's been on the island. No, that was Bill and, you know, and our president right now that we're hanging out at the island with Epstein. So it just the news gets twisted and sound bites, and it's confusing.
Well, you get a combination of those bots that you're certainly talking about, but then you have those QAnon followers. And by the way, we have one who is very likely to end up in Congress, and then another person who just won a Republican nomination in Florida for a congressional seat. Thankfully, it's very heavily Democratic, so she probably won't go on. That would be Laura Loomer, if you've heard of her name before. She was in Minnesota, I think, last year, peddling some sort of conspiracy theory against Muslims in Minnesota. But, yeah, another legitimate person who is – or a legitimate candidate, being that she has the Republican nomination, and they're out there as well spreading that misinformation, which is, yeah, definitely frustrating to hear when you're getting – that sort of false info saying, oh, well, Obama was involved with Jeffrey Epstein, which wasn't true whatsoever, as he said.
I think my voice is going to be changing here in the next few months, meaning that my tone is going to be changing. And I think people, the 42% that are still supporting 45, need to be called out too.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. And I think it's a time where we don't play nice anymore. And I think we need to go on their playbook, because their misinformation is it's just – it's changing the world. It's changing the world. It's changing who we are. And it's really – I mean, you know, I can feel it like a couple weeks ago when Trump was losing a lot of leverage here because of the way he's been handling COVID. It should have been more things than that, but the thing that really has pushed people to vote against him, I should say. But I've had a lot of Republicans come at me. It was really weird, all within a 2-week period, that I think they're feeling their power is going to be taken away, because they're getting nasty and they're getting desperate.
I think what part of it is with people who voted for Trump even back in 2016, I got to think to who I had this conversation with, but it's more they want to believe what Donald Trump is saying. And when you find out that, well, he probably is lying, that just doesn't register, because then you have to admit, well, I guess I was wrong for voting this person a few years ago. I think that's a large part of it, where you want to believe what the politician is saying. It doesn't mean you actually believe, but you just want to have that belief because you felt so disconnected from politics over the years. I think that's how people get that attraction to people like Donald Trump, and then end up spreading misinformation. Because, well, if you spread that misinformation, well, you at least want to believe it's true. That's, well, I think, the key right there. You want to believe that what you're spreading is actually true.
I think that's really the nice way to put it, and I think that's why I'm taking the gloves off, because these guys are complicit to this person who's putting children in cages, who's suppressing the vote, who's you know, messing up the U.S. mail. And, you know, it's the largest union, and also they have the largest former the vets that work for the post office too. So he's messing over veterans again in different ways. So there's all these things that are happening that we really need, or I'm going to, and really call out, because I'm sick and tired of it. And it is the election of our lifetime. And we really need to grab two friends that have never voted before and take them to – well, tell them who to vote for. But take them into the ballots to vote.
So let's go to the big news that's been happening this week. That would be the Democratic National Convention, which, by the way, we have coverage of on AM 950. Every day this week we have the Devil's Advocates hosting from 4 until 6. Man, they had a big party planned for their broadcast, and then COVID happened. They were going to be speaking with all the bigwigs, but they'll still get us some coverage every weekday from 4 until 6 this week. Then we'll carry all of the speeches from 8 to 10 and get some post-DNC analysis from Dom and Crute over in Milwaukee. So check that out coming up after Matt and I are done today, as we'll pretty much be turning things over to those guys to cover what's happening at the DNC. So, Robert, I don't know how closely you've been following what's been happening at the convention the past couple of days. I, for the most part, watched all of it on Monday. Last night I got busy with some other things that didn't have a chance to tune in, but was able to kind of catch some of the media reports on what happened. But I get what the Biden campaign is doing and the DNC by bringing in all of these Republicans to come out and speak in favor of Joe Biden. He is an unabashed centrist, which I'm okay with in the sense in that he's at least not trying to hide it. I think if we go back to the Hillary Clinton campaign of 2016, it almost seemed like she was trying to hide the fact that she was largely a centrist on several issues, and I think that's what rubbed a lot of people the wrong way in saying, well, she's coming off as phony and so on, where at least with Biden, even though he is a little more centrist than I would prefer, he is unabashed in that sense. He is saying, yeah, I am a moderate Democrat, and he's not shamed to say that. But going back to what I was saying, we're having lots of Republicans that are out there speaking at the convention, including John Kasich on Monday. I believe we are having Colin Powell speaking tonight. And what else was I reading? I think they're going to be honoring one of the Cheneys, not Dick Cheney. I think it might be Lynn Cheney that they're going to be honoring. So as I was sitting here looking at the lineup, I don't know if you have this same thought, but the first presidential campaign I ever followed when I became of the age where I could vote was 2004.
Oh, wow.
And if I look back at the Republican National Convention of 2004, it's kind of funny how many of those speakers were there and were prominent figures that are now at the Democratic Convention in 2020. Isn't that nuts? I mean, when we're talking about Colin Powell, John Kasich, Lynn Cheney.
They brought McCain back out of the – they brought him up, too. They had a whole big thing on him and Biden working across the across the table with each other. That was kind of weird, too.
Yeah, what do you think about them having Republicans out there to speak? Because it is kind of a balancing act that they have to run at the DNC where, yeah, I get the fact that you want to bring in Republicans and kind of send out that message to people who lean to the right that aren't happy with Trump saying, hey, it's okay to vote for someone like Biden. But on the other hand, you don't want to alienate that progressive base that Joe Biden needs to turn out for him because, as we saw with previous elections with Democrats, if you only appeal to moderates, you're probably not going to have a lot of success. It's a real balancing act. I think he has to kind of try to toe during this convention.
Right. Well, I listened a little to Tom Hartman, and somebody had that same kind of question to him on the way here. And I kind of like how he brought it up that they're playing politics because the question more was like, why aren't they bringing up the Green New Deal? Why aren't they bringing up all these things that are progressive? So they're reaching out, they're playing politics, and you know, some of it's kind of heartwarming. Others like, well, I kind of like that guy, and we do need to be one country and be able to reach over. So I kind of see what they're trying to do.
Right.
I kind of differ, though. We were talked a little bit before your show, and kind of differ too. I kind of like it the way it is right now. I like it.
Streamlined. Oh, this format, like yeah. Well,
I'm used to it, though, too. That's the bad thing. I'm zooming all over the place, so I'm used to it. It's like, whoa, where's my laptop? No, I don't need it, you know. But, yeah, I see what you're saying, but I think they're trying to get the moderate vote, and they're playing politics. Right?
Yeah, it's exactly. Right? You know, I think they do need to try to get that moderate vote and, importantly, tell Republicans who might be against Trump, hey, it's okay to vote for Joe Biden or one of the I listened to some Never Trump podcasts from former Republicans, and one of the guys, I think his name was Mike Murphy, had this great quote. He's a Republican voting for Biden. He said, yeah, I'm going to lease but not buy Biden during this election cycle. I thought that was a fitting analogy. But
well, and I think he's just a segue to the next president, whether it's AOC, and we're ready for that. Because remember all the insane things that we talked about maybe during your first election, and that was gay marriage, that was never going to happen, you know, health care for all, and all these radical things that are becoming more normalized. And we need to Biden's going to be the transitional president. And I don't know if Kamala will be the next president, but AOC will be old enough. And there's a lot of progressive young people that are running for office. And so it'll be interesting. But we got to, like, keep the eye on the prize and get rid of 45, whatever we get. We got to. You know, we got to get Patrick to get his bus going out there and pick
up
people.
Come on, Patrick, get on it in there.
Get people and get them to come to the ballots, because that's what we have to do. Because I always like, and I'm going to name drop another show on AM 950. always
feeling that drop there.
Right. I always listen to the Stephanie Miller show, and she has that great guy that comes on, and he always says he was a comedian at the Blue State Ball a couple years ago.
Oh, Fugelsang.
Thank you very much. And he always says, we got to remember, we outnumber them. If we vote, we outnumber them. And that's the thing that we really have to remember. With these mailboxes being torn out, and with the mail being bad, and your vote's not going to count, they're trying to discourage us. They're trying to discourage people to vote, and we got to do the opposite.
You know, I think that strategy has backfired with what they were attempting to do with the post office, even though Louis DeJoy has now backtracked on some of his proposals. I think it's woken people up to the fact that, yeah, you can't just mail in your ballot on November 1st. I think there's a lot of people, me included, that are going to fill out their ballot as soon as they get it and drop it off at your election center. Or you can look it up at mnvotes.org, drop it off wherever you need to send it, because what they're doing with the post office right now, even though they're walking back some of these proposed cuts, I would still be nervous about sending my ballot through that system. So my advice would be to anyone who is not going to vote in person, fill out that ballot as soon as possible, and if you can, drop it off physically at your election center.
Or have Patrick pick you up and then both you drop it off.
Are you down for that, Patrick? Kind of the AM 950 ballot driver over there. We're bestowing a position upon you.
Yeah. Yes, I think. Yep, there it is. Yep.
He's shaking his head. Yes, he's a little bashful on the microphone.
I know.
Today, so.
That's sad because he talks on Pilots Progressive Party. Don't you, Patrick?
Sometimes. Well, what I've been thinking about jumping in to point out, going back to the conversation about having Republicans speaking at the convention, to a degree, I get that. But if you look back at 2016 and a lot of people of color stayed home, Black Americans stayed home, Native Americans stayed home. Robert, you've talked about that quite a bit on your shows, especially as it relates specifically to places like South Dakota, where the governor only won by, was it 10,000 votes?
It was 5,000, I think.
Was it really that close? I didn't know it was 5,000.
Maybe, yeah, you listen to my show. I never listen to the show. But you listen to the show, Patrick, so you're probably right, 10,000.
Something like that.
It was a small amount.
But Latino Americans stayed home, and that was a big key factor in Trump getting elected, was that people who vote Democrat didn't want to vote for Hillary Clinton because Hillary Clinton didn't care about them.
Well, wasn't the number like 35 million people that voted for Obama didn't vote in that election? Wasn't it an unbelievable amount like that?
I don't know the exact numbers behind that, but I think it was a combination of a couple of factors. What you guys are certainly bringing up with people who voted for Obama either in 2008 and 2012 that didn't show up to vote in 2016, but I think there is another group of voters that also swung that election that I think the Biden campaign is really going after, and that's the undecided voters from 2016. Mm. This is something I like to point out from 16 when people bring up, oh, well, the polls were wrong, the polls were wrong. Really, if you look deeply at the polls, and especially the data in the last few days, the polls were largely right. If you looked at how polling worked in 2016.
I've heard your shows saying this, yes.
Yeah, we had a ton of undecided voters all throughout 2016, where at different points they were supporting Hillary Clinton and other points they were going to Donald Trump. And it kept varying and varying all throughout that election cycle. And just as we hit election day, they all ended up going for Donald Trump, primarily. Well, not all, but he did win undecideds by a fairly hefty margin.
And I think that fake news with the emails and the confusing confusing response going, everything's okay. And it's like, wasn't it okay before? Wait a minute.
So though that's, I think, the group that Joe Biden is really trying to court this year is those undecideds that broke Donald Trump's way in 2016. And thus far, according to the polling, he's been successful with that strategy. Now, whether that will hold up remains to be seen, especially as the campaign is going to heat up, because we know the so-called Death Star, that is the Donald Trump campaign, is going to be firing all sorts of shots at him come September and October.
Did you see who they're going to have speaking at the Republican convention?
Oh, isn't it those St. Louis gun guys that are going to be speaking at that?
And if you remember this, and of course Native Americans really remember this, that little young dude that was in Washington, D.C., that stared down that Native American.
He's going to speak out there?
Yes.
They couldn't find they couldn't get Scott Baio to speak, or
he might be
or Hank Williams
he
Jr.
He might be the MC. I was hoping to see what's his name, Ted Nugent, or
Nugent. Yeah,
what's the cat that that was with Pamela Anderson? What's his name? Kid Rock. Kid Rock.
Oh yeah, Kid Rock. He was rumored to be running for Senate in Michigan for a while.
Well, if he's running, I'm running. I'm running somewhere.
He was seriously considering it, yeah. But
I believe it.
Yeah, he was going to be running against, I think that's Gary Peters is the Democrat. So, yeah.
Well, I know your segment's ending, and you got to kick me out of here, but I just want to remember what we say at the end of Native Roots Radio. That's you need to resist, divest, join a group, and run for office. And I think we need to stay awake, and we need to really engage our young people into voting, because they're going to save us. They just need to know that and be guided, too,
because
there's all this misinformation out there. Brett, it's crazy.
Well said. Robert Pilot with Native Roots Radio. You can hear him several times throughout the week. Let's run through these. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Let's hear it.
This might be a quiz for you, too, to make sure you know when you're on the airwaves.
I don't. Patrick does.
Patrick can back us up if we're wrong. We got Rock the Vote Native Style, Tuesdays at 2 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Pilot's Progressive Party, Wednesdays from 5 until 6.
But not tonight because of the DNC.
Correct.
Thank you, Patrick. And Wendy's happy because she wants to be relaxed tonight.
Yeah, get a little chance to relax. Take the night off. Let the Milwaukee Devils Advocates guys take the reins.
Listen in, yes.
Then Saturdays, we, of course, have the flagship I'm Awake from 1 till 3. And Sundays, the Native Symposium, 6 until 8 p.m.
Yes.
I'm impressed. I know that by heart. Were you able to pull that off?
I could have, I think. I think I'm on another radio station, too, on Wednesdays, so I won't bring that up. But it's the best of Native Roots Radio, so it's only a couple segments. But they won Radio Station of the Year. I just throw that out there. From City Pages? Saw this, the best of. But it all started here on AM 950. And I just, again, want to thank you. Thank Patrick, and thank all the crew here, and especially Chad, for supporting the Native Voice, because I'm just a conduit to the Native Voice across Turtle Island here, and you're as good as your guests. And so right now, Brett, you're not having a very good show, but but you're as good as your guests, and I've had been blessed with having some great, knowledgeable people on over the years. And also now we have Winona LaDuke every week. We have House Representative Mary Kunish Podine. We have Ruth Buffalo, North Dakota, House Representative, and then South Dakota, Red Dawn, State Senator, and we're just expanding and expanding what's going on all around on Turtle Island. So I want to thank Apini Gigi to AM 950 for all the support they have given us these almost 4 years.
Yeah, that is crazy. January of this year, 2021, it will be 4 years on the air here at AM 950. Crazy to think.
Kind of party or something.
We need maybe a progressive party.
Hey, maybe we'll do it on a Wednesday.
Maybe you'll need to do it right on a Wednesday. Indeed. Hey, that's Robert Pilot of the Native Roots Radio Network. Go to am950radio.com. Check out Native Roots Radio. We have a link to their page over there where you can find all the information about the programs they air here on the station. Robert, good to have you stop on in on short notice. Do appreciate it.
Oh, it was fun, and I went and got, I won't tell you what restaurant it was, but I went and got a vegan Whopper before I got here, but I also had a regular Coke, so I'm fired up. I can go another 2 hours.
There you go. Well, we are in Eden Prairie, in the land of 10,000 chain restaurants, so I'm not surprised.
Pini Gigi, thanks for having me on your show and all your support.
Absolutely. We're going to take a break and come on back with some local news here on AM 950, talk about some of the candidates that are running for legislature and the Congress, and get you an update on whether state Senate Republicans, could remove yet another commissioner from the Walz administration. On the way next here on FII Politics.
Finding the right lawyer is incredibly stressful. It can be tough to know even where to start. don't just run an internet search for an attorney. Start with the Minnesota Lawyer Referral and Information Service, an enhanced program of the Hennepin and Ramsey County Bar Associations. They'll connect you with over 200 thoroughly vetted, qualified attorneys practicing in over 50 areas of law. Call 612-752-6699 or go to mnlawyerreferral.org. The right call for the right lawyer.
All Energy Solar is still committed to saving you on your next energy system through their zero-contact protocol. They can evaluate your property without visiting your home through calls and webinars. But incentive programs are expiring soon, so start saving on your energy bill today and visit allenergysolar.com.
Minuteman Press Uptown is still open. It's printing everything. But they are taking some extra precautions. You can order by phone or online and do curbside pickup. Plus, they can help restaurants staying open with direct mail and geofencing. That's Minuteman Press Uptown.
Hazel's Northeast is back and offering some of the most creatively prepared comfort food you'll find. Delicious breakfast options include the slow-cooked brisket hash, chicken fried steak, and the famed drunken banana French toast. Or for lunch and dinner, there's Swedish meatballs, wild rice gumbo, and more. Hazel's Northeast is open Wednesdays through Saturdays, 8 to 8, and Sundays, 9 to 2. Hazel's Northeast delivers real good food. Family-owned at 29th and Johnson in Minneapolis. Make your reservation now at hazelsne2go.com.
Hey, I guess we found a new name for our show.
Really? What's the new name?
Pilot's Progressive Party.
How did you ever come up with that?
Pilot's our name and progressive fun is our game.
Well, what's that about?
It's a one-hour news show with progressive guests and information you normally don't hear on the radio.
Well, that's so exciting. I have a few ideas for guests myself.
I know they'll be progressive.
Wednesdays from 5 to 6 p.m. on AM 950.
The Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Let Next Chapter Booksellers help you catch up on your summertime reading. Their expert staff can help make book recommendations no matter what your taste. Plus, Next Chapter Booksellers also sells a wide variety of puzzles and games. They have free home delivery within St. Paul for orders over $50 and free mail shipments within the U.S. for orders over $50. Open daily by phone from 10 to 3. Call 651-225-8989 or visit nextchapterbooksellers.com.
Even though these are challenging times, All Energy Solar is still committed to providing you a cost-effective, environmentally friendly energy system through their zero-contact protocol. Solar remains a great value and long-term investment, but some of the incentive programs will be expiring soon. All Energy Solar can walk you through the entire process. They can evaluate your property by phone or webinar, and can even complete preliminary design work without visiting your home. So start saving on your energy bill today and visit allenergysolar.com.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for sunny skies today with a high near 83. Tonight, clear with a low around 65. Thursday, sunny with a high near 86. And Friday, sunny with a high around 87.
Standard Heating and Air Conditioning is a fourth-generation family-owned and operated business with 500 combined years of professional experience. Standard Heating has been providing the Twin Cities with heating and cooling solutions for 90 years. Learn more by visiting standardheating.com/radio.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, FYI Politics with Brett Johnson. Big thanks to Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio for stopping in and helping out with the first half of the show. Hey, let's get to some local and state news that's been happening today. So coming up on Friday, Senate Majority Leader Paul Gazelka is going to be holding more hearings on commissioners that Republicans might be trying to remove. Of course, a couple of weeks ago, the state Senate voted not to confirm Nancy LaPink, one of the commissioners in the Walz administration, which caused all sorts of controversy. And Gazelka did hint that they might be looking to remove other commissioners, and that very well could be on the way. So I should point out that what's happening on Friday, this is going to be at 9 a.m. It's just going to be on a hearing. They can't actually vote during what's happening on Friday to remove anyone, since the legislature is not in session. They would only be able to remove another commissioner if the legislature reconvenes for a special session. So the next commissioners being targeted by Gazelka and Republicans are Steve Kelly, who is the commissioner of commerce. And then they are also looking at getting rid of the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency Commissioner Laura Bishop. That's going to be a hearing that will be held on Monday at 10 a.m. So like I said, even though they're holding their hearings, they technically can't remove anyone since they're not in session, which goes back to Governor Tim Walz possibly not calling any more special legislative sessions. Now, the way he could get around that to still have his emergency orders in place is that he could let the emergency order expire and then just 1 minute later reissue another emergency order. Since technically to continue emergency powers, you need to reconvene the state legislature. But if you allow one emergency order to expire and then just issue a new one, then you can kind of bypass the system. It's definitely a loophole, but if you are trying to counter some of the partisan politics happening with Republicans, maybe you got to fight fire with fire. So we'll have to see if Governor Walz does indeed do it, being now that Senate Republicans look like they are going to be targeting Steve Kelly with the Commerce Department and Laura Bishop with the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency.
Do they even have an excuse for because they came with the flimsy excuse? Oh, we didn't like LePink, so that's what their justification was, even though I think Kurt Dowd let it slip that it was kind of their, well, if you're not going to give up your powers, we're going to start firing your commissioners. He kind of let that out of the bag.
Yeah, he said the quiet part out loud.
Yeah, but it seems to me like now they're just kind of, they're kind of like, oh, well, it's out of the bag, so now we're just going to start removing people because we can remove them.
Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing that's what these hearings are going to do, is try to come up with some sort of excuse as to why they can try to remove these commissioners. If I were Democrats, I might encourage them to keep holding these hearings, but then don't allow them to remove the commissioners, especially if they decide to go after Jan Malcolm with the Minnesota Department of Health. That would cause a massive political firestorm, I think, here in Minnesota. Well, maybe not massive, but certainly would cause some big news if they were looking at removing Jan Malcolm with the Minnesota Department of Health. So, yeah, if I'm sitting there as a DFL strategist, I would say let them hold all of these hearings that they want. And in fact, let them try to hold hearings on other commissioners, but then just have Governor Walz not have another special session. So therefore, they can't remove the commissioner. So some interesting political strategy that's happening now, with more drama between the state Senate, controlled by Republicans, and then DFLers in the House and in the governor's mansion. Oh, Patrick, I know I promised a few weeks ago I wasn't going to talk about this topic anymore, but I got to go to it since it's been in the news. Kanye West. The reason why is that apparently, this is according to Dina Winter with Minnesota Reformer, who was on my show last week. She was talking about how she ran into a couple of Republican canvassers who were trying to gather signatures to get Kanye West on the ballot in Minnesota. In fact, reports from other DFL activists were showing that apparently part of the strategy was that these Republican canvassers were trying to get people to sign this piece of paper without telling them that it was going to get Kanye on the ballot. They were telling him it was some sort of like voter verification thing that people were signing. But anyways, they needed 2,000 signatures to get old Kanye on the ballot in Minnesota. And it turns out they did get those necessary 2,000 signatures. The deadline was yesterday. But now they have to be reviewed to make sure that those are legitimate. In fact, the State Elections Commission in Minnesota has recommended that Kanye West might not be placed on the ballot. They still have to review everything. So even though they have the signatures, no guarantee that he is going to appear on the Minnesota ballot. Across the river in Wisconsin, he will not be on the ballot. That was a ruling from the State Elections Commission staff in Wisconsin, as they recommended keeping him off the ballot in Wisconsin, but still a chance he could appear on Minnesota's ballot. Speaking of more kind of Trojan horse candidate recruitment issues that Republicans are going through, again talking about how they're somehow trying to get Kanye on the ballot. Well, in the 2nd Congressional District, this would be Angie Craig's seat, where she is fighting a Republican challenger this year named Tyler Kistner. There's a legalized cannabis candidate who has filed to run in CD2. Nothing wrong with that, until you look at his background. So the guy who is running in CD2 on behalf of the Legalized Marijuana Now party is Adam Charles Weeks. But looking at old social media posts that he's made over the years, and by the way, just recently deleted conveniently, DFL insiders are suspecting that Weeks entered the race merely to pull progressive votes away from Angie Craig to benefit the Republican challenger, Tyler Kistner. Now, here are some of the posts that Weeks removed over the past few weeks, and if you look through these, it seems like he was a big-time Republican activist. Weeks removed all of his Facebook posts before May 21st of this year, but fortunately, many DFLers were able to screen capture the posts before they were deleted. Here's some of them. In one captured Facebook post from November of 2018, Weeks was posing with then-Congressman Jason Lewis, urging people to vote for Lewis back in 2018. The next day, in another post captured by the DFL, Weeks was urging his Facebook friends to vote for Republican Karen Housley in the U.S. Senate race. In other captured images from the same month on Facebook, Weeks posted a link to an article adding, "Texas voters beware, the Dems are socialist scum." In another screen-grabbed post, Weeks urges people to watch conservative project. Is it Project Veritas or Veritas? I don't know, whatever it is. It's that James O'Keefe thing, if you're familiar with his little thing. He runs fake sting operations against Democrats. But this guy Weeks, who is the Legalized Marijuana Now candidate in the CD2, yeah, he was urging people on his social media to make sure you follow Project Veritas. In an older post captured by the DFL, Weeks appears to be at then-candidate Donald Trump's 2016 rally chanting, "Lock her up," at an airport hangar in Minnesota. Now, Weeks has disputed the notion that he is not running legitimately. He dismissed the DFL's complaint with the FEC as an attempt to squelch a third-party candidate. Now, the DFL, as I just noted here, did file a complaint with the Federal Election Commission. My guess would be it would be very tough to get him removed from the ballot, since that's a pretty high bar to show that you have some sort of clandestine, illegitimate third-party candidate on the ballot. But what I think they're trying to do is just highlight that, well, look at the past of this guy, Adam Charles Weeks, the Legalized Marijuana Now party candidate in CD2. If you just look at his posts, he seems an awful lot like a Republican who might just be running to pull votes away from Angie Craig. I have no problem whatsoever if we're going to have Legalized Marijuana Now, or I think there's another party like Legalized Cannabis. No problem whatsoever if you have candidates who want to highlight that issue and run on the ballot. No problem whatsoever. Where I do have an issue is if you do have someone who's only running to try to pull votes away from another candidate. If this guy really believes in the fact that we need to legalize marijuana now, then, yeah, by all means, leave him on the ballot. But just looking at his history, that doesn't really seem to be the case whatsoever. Speaking of third parties in Minnesota, we are going to have the Socialist Workers Party with a presidential candidate on the ballot in Minnesota. In fact, both the presidential and vice presidential candidates for the Socialist Workers Party appeared in Minnesota over the past week. Allison Kennedy, who is the presidential candidate, and Malcolm Jarrett, the vice presidential candidate, arrived in Minnesota last Thursday, and they have submitted enough signatures to appear on the ballot. So, yeah, in that case, perfectly fine if those guys want to appear on the ballot. Not saying whether I'm going to vote for them or not, but they certainly should have the ability since they are, well, real candidates. They're not someone that's just appearing to try to siphon votes away from somebody else. What else do we have in terms of a local ballot news? So do you remember that Republican lawsuit that was trying to overturn a ruling from the Secretary of State's office where basically the Secretary of State wanted to get rid of a rule in Minnesota that forced people who were voting absentee to have a signature of a witness on their ballot? Secretary of State Steve Simon decided, we're not going to have that during this election cycle due to COVID-19. Republicans tried suing, overturning the decision, I should say, from Secretary of State Steve Simon, which would force people to have a witness sign their ballot. Well, the GOP has now dropped their lawsuit, so what does that mean if you're a voter? Well, you no longer will need a witness to sign your ballot if you decide to vote absentee or by mail, which I think is key because if you think of, like, Let's take a senior citizen, for instance, who lives alone. A senior citizen who lives alone probably is not interacting with a lot of people amid the COVID-19 pandemic, and it would likely be difficult to get a witness to sign their ballot because the witness prior to the decision from Steve Simon was that the witness needed to be someone who was a registered voter, which again could make it difficult for some folks to try to get that extra signature. But Republicans dropped their lawsuits, so if you are planning to vote absentee or by mail, you no longer need that witness to sign your ballot. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We're going to take a break and come on back for one final segment of FYI Politics with Brett Johnson. We'll touch on a few more local stories and then get to a few national ones that I want to highlight, including Donald Trump urging people to boycott Goodyear tires. And then a report of Trump wanting to swap Puerto Rico for Greenland. Yeah, we'll talk about that and more up next.
Better Futures Minnesota's Reuse Warehouse has big news. We have a brand new online store. Check out reusebfm.com. This is a great way to see what we carry in the Reuse Warehouse. Appliances, building materials, kitchen and bath fixtures, lighting, flooring, lumber, heating and cooling items. Don't miss the beautiful benches and COVID safety shields that are hand-built using reclaimed wood from our deconstruction projects. Check out reusebfm.com. That's reusebfm, as in betterfuturesminnesota.com.
The Minnesota Army National Guard salutes the high school graduating class of 2020. We recognize all of your hard work and the resilience you've demonstrated during this historic time for our country. Those are the traits of a great citizen soldier. You can continue to stand out and be a leader in your community as a soldier in the Minnesota Army National Guard. Learn more about the benefits of part-time service in the Army National Guard at NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard, aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hey, everybody out there in AM 950 land. This is Paul Metza inviting you to listen to another great episode on the Wall of Power Radio Hour this weekend. We have our third time with Professor Ann Margaret Daniel, who not only knows quite a bit about F. Scott Fitzgerald, but is a Bob Dylan scholar. She writes for the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, No Depression, and more. We take a deep dive once again into Bob Dylan's new masterpiece, Rough and Rowdy Ways, this Saturday night at 6 p.m. on AM 950.
Don't be surprised if you hear your name when you walk into St. Paul Corner Drug. Our experienced staff make getting to know you their top priority. Developing a trusting relationship with our patients is the first step in providing personalized care that achieves the best outcomes possible. Make certain all your providers know who you are and what your needs are. It is a vital step in your well-being. Stop by St. Paul Corner Drug today to start a relationship with a staff that cares. St. Paul Corner Drug, pharmacy the way it should be.
Crooner's Supper Club is leading the Twin Cities back to live performances this summer with two new distance-safe outdoor dinner show options. The popular Lakeside Drive-In concerts will continue with new shows added throughout the summer. And not to be outdone, Crooner's is also introducing a new Lakeside Cafe in its outdoor patio space designed to offer a more intimate, distance-safe outdoor dinner show experience. So head to Crooner's Supper Club off Moore Lake and Highway 65 this summer for some delicious food and great music. Make your reservations now at croonersmn.com.
Hi, I'm Alicia Luther-Toms, Certified Financial Planner with RBC Wealth Management. I'm part of an all-woman financial advisor team with combined experience of over 40 years. Whether it's leaving something for your loved ones, enjoying your own retirement, or giving to a favorite charity, we'll help you plan, and there's no better time than right now. This is Alicia Luther-Toms at 612-770-4460 or alicia.luther.toms@rbc.com.
RBC Wealth Management, a division of RBC Capital Markets, LLC, member NYSE, FINRA, SIPC.
Minnehaha Falls Landscaping creates outdoor environments that grow beauty and support health and wellness. We provide everything needed for people and pollinators to grow healthy together in the home landscape. Contact us for landscape renovations, patios, walkways, retaining walls, butterfly gardens, rain gardens, and bee lawns. Minnehaha Falls Landscaping is a business rooted in healthy soil. We rely on soil health to beautify landscapes, restore ecosystems, and protect pollinators. We love sharing our soil secrets with everyone. Visit us at MinnehahaFallsLandscape.com.
FYI Politics with Brett Johnson on a Wednesday afternoon. So Donald Trump apparently wanted to swap Puerto Rico for Greenland. This is being reported by MSNBC as former Homeland Security Chief of Staff Miles Taylor, a person who was a member of the Trump administration, confirmed that Trump inquired about selling Puerto Rico. Quoting Taylor, One time before we went down, he told us not only did he want to purchase Greenland, he actually wanted to see if we could sell Puerto Rico. Could we swap Puerto Rico for Greenland? Because in his words, Puerto Rico was dirty and the people were poor. Fortunately, the president can't unilaterally act in that sense, but kind of telling that he was wanting to swap those two territories. Hey, what's going to happen with the supposed $400 of extra unemployment money that was issued through an executive order by the Trump administration? Are people who are unemployed really going to get that bonus $400? Well, turns out if you talk to most states, including Minnesota, not anytime soon. Here's the details behind it. So three of that $400 is going to come from the federal government, but here's a key point. It's only being funded through $44 million from the FEMA Disaster Relief Fund, which may not even be legal to take that money from the FEMA Disaster Fund and redirect it towards unemployment. But here's what's important about this $44 million being redirected from FEMA. Even if every state decided to participate in that program, or even most of the states, the money that's supposed to fund the new unemployment bonuses would only last a few weeks. It wouldn't even go on for that long, something that's kind of missing from that executive order. And by the way, states are supposed to be on the hook for the other $100, but that is probably also not going to be possible, according to the Minnesota Department of Employment and Economic Development, saying they've received little guidance from the federal government as to how they should distribute that extra $100 of funds. So, yeah. That executive order is kind of funny that apparently this is being funded from a FEMA disaster relief fund, and it's only $44 million. And if you do the math, $44 million is only going to last a couple of weeks in terms of trying to get people extra funding for those unemployment benefits. So during my last segment in some other news, I was talking about how we had this one guy who is – the one guy in CD2, the Legalized Marijuana Now party, who looked like a Republican even though he's trying to run as a third party. Well, let's talk a little bit more about social media and a North Dakota state representative. This guy is named Jim Casper, and he claims his social media was hacked after he posted posts that were accusing Kamala Harris of being a whore and saying that white slaves were sold for centuries. He, of course, claimed that his account was hacked. Which is funny because this very same thing happened to him in January of this year, where he made other controversial posts on his social media accounts. And in that case, he said he was hacked in that during that time period as well. So either this guy's clearly lying or he has just terrible security on his social media accounts. It is funny how oftentimes when politicians make controversial posts, they claim that their accounts were hacked. Even though that appears to not be the case, seeing that this guy apparently was hacked twice in the same year. Yeah, not sure I'm really buying that. Only got a couple minutes left on the show. Let's talk to Rod in Minneapolis. Hey there, Rod.
Hi there. I'm commenting on the Republican war on Walsh's commissioners.
Mm-hmm.
You got to realize what's been going on here. The Department of Commerce has continued to pay attention to the real certificate of need issues around the pipeline, and so they're gonna haul this out and raise a lot of money from the energy companies to let the Commissioner of Commerce spin in the wind. They're going to do the same thing with Commissioner Bishop of the Pollution Control Agency, because half of the Northern Democrats in Minnesota and all the Republicans want to democracy, the BWSCA, go to hell. So some people from out of state can come in here and take jobs. This is what's going on here, and I'm angry that the DFL messaging system doesn't call this shit out.
Unfortunately, yeah, Rod, we are going to have to let you go right there since we know you're a little fired up about that issue. But, yeah, we do have to abide by language of the FCC airwaves. So try to call back another time. But going to a point Rod was making about the divide we sometimes see with the DFL in northern Minnesota between labor and the environment, we're going to be talking more about that, I should say, on tomorrow's show, as we're going to be speaking with our northern Minnesota politics expert, Aaron Brown, as we're going to discuss what happened in that Senate primary between Eric Simonson, the incumbent, who was defeated by the more progressive challenger, Jen McEwen, as we're going to overall chat about politics in northern Minnesota and where the DFL goes, because it is it's a tight rope they have to dance up in that area between labor interests and environmental issues, and I don't even think those necessarily need to be mutually exclusive, but that's something we'll get into with Aaron Brown coming up on my show tomorrow. All right, I'm down to just a few seconds left, but want to remind you again that tonight we will have special coverage of the Democratic National Convention. Devil's Advocates are going to be broadcasting live today and tomorrow from 4 until 6. Then we'll carry all of the speeches from 8 until 10 o'clock and get some post-convention analysis from the Devil's Advocates guys from 10 until midnight. So make sure you stay tuned to AM 950 for all of your DNC coverage. All right, I'm out of time for today. We got Matt McNeil coming up next.